Myrne, you talked last time about the union a little bit, saying that you didn't join a union while you were at Douglas. And I didn't ask you, and I'd like to ask you what your feelings were at the time about unions, if you knew about them or how you felt about them, why you didn't join them yet.
Well, yes, I knew about them, but there was pros and cons, you know. And I just didn't care for it. And besides, I couldn't afford the money because I was alone and raising my daughter, and I couldn't afford the fees to join the union. But I didn't like it.
Can you say why you didn't like it?
Well, I forgot just now how the agreements all went, but I didn't like the way they were doing things, and to me, it didn't help at all in the plant. Now, maybe some people would have thought so, but to me, I didn't think it helped at all, so I did not do it.
Did you ever change your mind after you went back to Douglas later?
No, I never changed my mind. No. I just felt like, well, I just couldn't afford it. They didn't pay me enough. And if I had joined the union, I wouldn't have got any more money. And I didn't see that they were doing too much for anyone. So I never did change my mind. I never did join.
I'd also like to ask you if during the war years when you worked at Douglas, if there was much teasing from the men towards the women, or things like passes or, you know, advances, those kinds of things?
Well, now they weren't right on where I worked, but I did hear of them on the line, where the line was moving, you know, all the time, and the workers, and they were playing around all the time, so I heard. Now, I couldn't tell you because in our section and the section on each side of us, we worked. We worked like we're supposed to work. We paid attention to our business instead of fiddling around. But they said there was quite a few passes that was made. And, of course, we'd have a little lull once in a while, and we'd look up and see some guy, and we'd flirt with him or something like that, you know, but in our section, no, we didn't, but the others did, maybe, or some of them.
Okay, I'd like to go forward now to post-war things, and you talked about being laid off in 1945,
mm-hmm.
And I'd like to know where you went from there.
Well, when I was laid off in 45, I went to Jackson's Auto Seat Cover place, and we made seat covers for cars, the front and the back, and the bucket seats. And I was a leatherette cutter. I cut the patterns out with a motor, and I worked there until 47.
Were there many other women that worked there?
Oh, yes, there was about 15 or 20. There was just a few when I first started. And but most of them were sewers. You know, they sewed the seat covers together. And I had a helper that would help me cut the materials, the leatherette. And then there was another girl that she did the cutting of the cloth. But I did all the leatherette cutting. And they were all, and then they got to be, 15 or 20 sewers on the machines, sewing machines. And it was just a beautiful place to work. We had a wonderful boss. He was the owner and he was the boss. We did have a lead lady for a while, but she didn't last very long. Everybody done their own work themselves, and they didn't have to be told. But the owner was right there. He was a Jewish guy, but he was a beautiful person to work for.
How did the salary compare to your salary at Douglas?
Well, I got a flat $50 a week with nothing taken out. And that was supposed to be under the cap. And that's the way we worked all the time that I worked there. And I worked there from 45 until 47 for him. And that's, we never got a raise. Then we moved, we worked here on Lincoln. Then we moved up on Santa Monica Boulevard, I believe. Yes, up on Santa Monica Boulevard. Or Colorado Boulevard. We moved up there. And I worked there till he went out of business. And then I went to North American Aircraft. And I worked in templates there from 47 on till 49.
Now, you had said last time that Douglas called you to be rehired, but that you had a good job.
Yes.
When, now, when exactly was that? Do you remember?
Well, I believe that was in that was whenever I was in the auto seat place.
Okay. Can you talk about how you got your job at North American?
Well, I just heard that they were hiring, and my husband and I had remarried, and my husband was working there. And I heard they were hiring, so I went over and I started working for them. And I was in the templates, you know, placing, running down templates out of different departments and bringing them back to our own departments.
Do you remember what the process was, your hiring process at North American? Was there a problem at all, you getting a job there being
no.
A little older?
No. No, there was no problem. I just went right in. I thought I'd be just doing riveting and stuff like that, like I always did, you know. I'd never worked anywhere else other than that. And I just fitted right in. They showed me what to do. I did a little book work, you know. You had to keep up with them, and you had to do a little bit of book work. All they did was just show me, and they said I was very good.
Were there very many women around you who had also worked during the war?
Oh, yeah.
As you had?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. There was quite a few, and even I worked on a balcony, and we'd have to go down steps to find our templates or deliver them or this, that, and the other, you know. But out in the on the lower floor, there was lots of women still working in there.
Do you know if many of these women had just stayed on after the war, or if they also were rehired?
Well, some of them were rehired, and some of them were the old-timers that had worked at North American. In fact, I worked with a couple, I think, that had worked during the war in the templates department. And it was just a beautiful place to work. And then I think I got laid off. It got slack in 49, and I think I got laid off. I forget to put all that stuff down on my little piece of paper. So I think it got slack, and they laid me off. And, don't know where I was going.
Maybe before we go on, I'd like to ask if you ever thought about not working, or worried about not being able to get another job.
No, I knew I could get a job as long as I could, you know, had the ability to do it, and I did have. I couldn't stay home because it would be too much idle time, and I need money. I was raising a daughter, and I had to, she had to have schooling and clothes and shelter and all this, you know, so I had to work. And so therefore I wasn't afraid of getting a job or be laid off from one and then find something else. I always found it. And you know, it's funny, I never drew employment for a long, long time. Unemployment, rather, for a long, long time. And I just, when I got out of one job, I went to another.
You said that you had gotten remarried during that time.
Yes.
Would you tell me about that?
Well,
when you met your future husband?
I met him on a blind date. At the time, I was living in a rooming boarding house, and I moved in there in 45. And this lady had all of us aircraft workers rooming and boarding there. She had men and she had women. And she'd done the cooking for us, and she only charged us, I think, $60 a month. And she did her own laundry and fixed her own food. All we ever did was clean her own room, or I did. And I met this girl down there, and she and I got to be real good friends. She was working, I don't know just where, not in the aircraft. She was working someplace else. And so she said, Myrne, she said, I want you to meet this guy. I'm going to get you a blind date. I'm going out with his brother. So in the meantime, though, I had moved out of the rooming house and found me a little apartment. And it was upstairs. My daughter and I moved. So when she brought this date, that's where I was living. And she knocked on the door, and as soon as I opened it, that was love at first sight. I never met the man, never saw him before in my life, but it was love at first sight. And so it wasn't long till we went to Tijuana and got married. And then we decided, well, it wasn't legal down there. It wasn't in those days. So we came back here to Santa Monica, and we were remarried in Santa Monica. And we lived together, I guess, a little bit over 5 years, and he passed away.
What was his name?
His name was Bill Benton, and he worked for North American for, I don't know how many years, at least 10, because he got several pins. He got one with a diamond in it. And that was before I met him, though. But he had also been in the service. He was a Navy man in the service. And he had been there at the time, and he saw the flag raised on Iwo Jima. But he was on a ship, and he was watching them when they raised it. And he crossed the equator, you know, and I still have his certificate where he crossed the equator and changed times and so forth and so on. Beautiful person.
How did your daughter feel about you being remarried?
Well, she liked it, although, you know, it wasn't like her own father, but she didn't mind. She was glad for me. And she was growing up, you know, and she had her own little friends, and she had brought them home and entertained them, or she went out with the girls and the boys. She was getting pretty good size then. So she never had any trouble with him, and he didn't have any trouble with her. She done her own thing.
Did it, in what way did it change your life to be remarried again? It's been a while since you've been married.
Yes, it had been a while. Well, it changed my life, yes. It made me, I don't know, more settled. And I did things different with my second husband than I did with the first one because, I don't know, I went dancing and he could dance. And we went dancing lots and lots of times and other entertainments, you know, like parties or picnics. And we traveled quite a bit when I wasn't working or when we had a vacation. We just got out in the car and away we went. And it just changed my life a lot.
Was it hard? You've been alone for a long time and been making all your own decisions and kind of running things your way. Was that ever a problem?
Well, it was kind of a little problem, yes, because I had had my own way, you know, for so long, and then I had to come down and be half and half, you know. But it didn't take me a long time to reconcile into it. So therefore, we made out wonderful, happy, go lucky. And it was up until he passed away. So that's just the way it went. It was just beautiful married life.
And were you working at the time that he passed away?
Yes, I was. Yes, I was working. I was working at, let me see, where did I go? Maybe I went back to, I guess I was working at North American for one place, and then another place, this Flashacre Novelty place. And it was right down the street here from where I live now. And I worked there quite a little while, 49 till go up into 50s. And then I went to Houston Cooperation. And it was down here in Ocean Park somewhere.
What kind of a company was that?
Well, they had just, the war was over, you know, and they had just put out their guns, and it was building kitchen cabinets, metal. I guess you'd call them, I don't know, little cabinets, you know, utility cabinets, in other words. And I went in as an inspector or to fix everything that was wrong with it. And, I didn't work there too long until they closed up. And then I went back to Douglas in 53 and worked, in 50, and worked till 53.
I'd like to talk about how you were rehired as Douglas in 1950.
Well,
did you know that they needed people? How did you
know that? Well, they got into electronics. And I don't know just now, I don't remember now just what they were building. But there were quite a bit of electronics going on in there.
This is at Douglas or at Keith?
At Douglas. Okay. And I went back and was working in electronics, wiring and soldering.
What was the hiring in process then?
Well, about the same thing as hired in before when I first worked at Douglas. You had to have your own equipment, pliers, and you know, your tools that you had to work with. And it was about the same thing, you know. I didn't have to go through all that process as I did when I first hired in to Douglas, because you had to have birth certificate and all this stuff, you know, and they still had my records. So it was just like walking into going to work again, same old thing.
Did you have to do special training?
No, they did set me down and give me a soldering iron and the solder to solder wires. And don't ask me what I was doing, what I was making, I don't know, I don't remember, but it's long ago. Anyway, I stayed there until, from 50 to 53.
Were there very many other women working?
Oh, yes. It was practically all women in the little old department that I was in. But I don't remember what department it was now.
Were they?
They were all wiring and soldering. I suppose it was some kind of electronical units, maybe computers or something like that, you know, that was coming in. And I just don't remember, but they were all wiring and soldering it. And working on boards, you know, and stuff like that. But I was seated all the time and doing little soldering work.
Were the women around your age, or were they younger or older?
Well, my partner, I worked right alongside of her that I worked with when the war was going on. Yeah, worked right alongside with her. And most of them were the older ones, you know. But a lot of them was the young ones, too, because the younger ones, they were getting the young ones in there because they could do better. Us old fogies, we got kind of shaky, I guess, after all that. And so that's just the way it went.
Were there very many minority women that were working at that time?
No, not too many in the place where I was. No. No, they were. They were mostly all like me. But, no, there wasn't too many of them. I don't know, seemed to me like they thinned out and went other places. They were a few Mexican women, but not many, and a few other blacks. But they weren't many. But there wasn't as many as there was when I was in the aircraft, you know.
How did the working conditions compare then to during the war?
Well, they were a lot better, I'll tell you that. You know, I mean, it wasn't so crowded. And you had space to work in more than what we had when we was during the war, you know. And it wasn't crowded at all. You had your own little table, and that's where you worked. You sat down, and that's where you worked. You didn't move around. That's one thing I didn't like about it, because you couldn't move around. Because I was used to, you know, exercising and bending and stooping, but this way you just sat all the time, done your wiring and soldering. And I didn't really care for it, but I learned it. They taught me how to do it. And after then, I went to a couple of more jobs that done wiring and soldering. But I liked it, but it was tedious work, very tedious, because of very small wires. I even forgot my size of wires in motor. I could still do it, I guess. I had to.
Why did you end up leaving in 53?
Pardon?
Why did you end up leaving in 53?
I think I quit. I think I quit. And I, or else, yeah, I believe I quit. I believe I took a trip back to Texas. And then I didn't go to work anymore until 54. And I even forgot what I did there. Black straws, where they make these straws that you drink your sodas out of. And I think I don't remember just what I did there. But I didn't work very long, about a year there. And then I went back to Douglas again. They closed down, this Flex Straw outfit, they closed down. Then I went back to Douglas and I did some more wiring and soldering. And then I worked from 54 until 56 there.
What about proportion to women during that 3-year period?
Well, nearly all of them were women, and where I worked, of course, it was they were lead women and lead men in there, and I don't know, the lead women thought their job was really something, you know, and to me, they weren't as good as the men as a leader. I'd rather work with a man, being a lead man, or the boss, whatever you want to call it, than to work under a woman. I never liked to work under a woman. I don't know why, but just maybe just women, and we couldn't see eye to eye. Although I had no arguments with them or anything like that. I seemed like some of the things that they did, or how they told you how to do it, you know, some of them were really sharp, and they'd cut your head off if you looked at them straight. But I enjoyed the work and the people that I was working with, but I didn't care for the lead women. I had a man, I'd have been all right.
You wouldn't have minded a man telling you to...
Nope. I wouldn't mind a man at all telling me what to do. Because I knew he knew what he was doing. And these women, they just started, you know, since the war was over, and they just... Some of them were mechanical inclined, and some of them weren't. Their hands were soft, and they were mellow people, and if you didn't go just right, they'd really tear you off. I've heard them tell some of the girls off up there that just pitiful, and I felt sorry for them. But they never did bother me, except I didn't like to work for them. I don't like to work under a woman at all.